All right, Chairman, we're ready to go.
Okay. Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Weissman?
Here.
Mr. Tillery?
Here.
Mr. Patel? Mr. Reggio? Roy's here. Mr. Blount? Mr. Hidaka?
Here.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Here.
And Chairman Cahill?
Here. Will everyone please stand for a salute to the flag?
Kalpesh just joined, okay? Sorry.
Thank you, Kalpesh.
The pledge of allegiance to the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Mr. Keneally, any changes to tonight's agenda?
I am not aware of any changes to the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Let's proceed. Let's move on to item number 5, 22-ZB-108/109V, St. Moses and Anba Abra Coptic Orthodox Church.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Kevin Morris. I'm an attorney, Woodbridge, New Jersey, and I'm appearing on behalf of the applicant. As the board is aware, this is an existing church property located at 40 Davidson Avenue East in Piscataway. The church has existed there for many, many years, 65 plus years. Members of the board may recall that this applicant was before you back in 2018 and received the benefit of an approval for an expansion to their parking area to accommodate its worshipers. Now, by way of housekeeping, I had previously submitted our affidavits of publication and mailing for the February 23rd meeting. I understand they were reviewed and in order. The board took jurisdiction on the application at that time. We needed a last minute adjournment, regrettably, due to a family emergency for one of our witnesses. But I understand that, Mr. Keneally, the board took jurisdiction, carried the application to this evening, announced it to the public so that we did not need to read notice.
You are correct, Mr. Morris. The board has jurisdiction to proceed this evening.
All right, thank you. I have three witnesses available, although I only intend on calling one. I've got Father Gregory Beckett from the church, Ralph Nashton, who is our project engineer, and I have Mr. Robert Walsh, who is our professional engineer and professional planner. I anticipate only Mr. Walsh will need to testify, and I would ask that he please be sworn.
Mr. Walsh, could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Robert E. Walsh, WALSH, 701 New Brunswick Avenue, Phillipsburg, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, folks. Now, Mr. Walsh, I understand you're a licensed professional engineer of the state of New Jersey since 1990 and a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey since 1991. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Both of your licenses are presently in good standing. Is that correct?
Yes, they are.
Right. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Walsh testified for this applicant on the 2018 application in both capacities, both as a professional engineer and a professional planner. His expertise were accepted at that time. And I would ask that you accept.
Credentials are fine with me, Mr. Morris.
An expert in both. Thank you.
Let's proceed.
All right. Now, Mr. Walsh, you prepared the plans that are before the board this evening. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
All right, basically two aspects here. One is a vestibule and ADA ramp addition to the existing church building, correct?
Correct.
I understand the ADA ramp and vestibule will provide much better ADA access to the site as presently exists. Is that correct?
Yes.
And also this new ADA ramp and vestibule will additionally provide ADA access that is not currently available to the lower floor or the basement area room of the church, which is utilized for the worshipers' purposes and church purposes and will correct that non-excess problem. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And then the other part of this application is that there's an existing church spire with a cross on the top, and it has a pointed peak, and it's the applicant's request to put a dome over that. The dome, the Coptic dome, is consistent with their particular faith. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So can you please describe the proposed landscaping that we anticipate installing in connection with these proposed improvements?
Yes, can I'm going to try to share screen if it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Entire screen. I have troubles with this in the past, and let me try to. Okay. Can you see that?
No.
Negative. Not yet.
Okay, hang on a second. Okay. I'm trying to share screen and it's not letting me hit the share button. Do you guys have to give me permission?
You're sharing now.
Okay, let me try this again. I'm going to bring up the PDF of the site plan. Can you see that?
I think that's Ralph's. That's Ralph's screen there.
The only thing appearing on my screen is the word Zoom.
Yeah, same here. Mine too.
Yep.
All right. Well, you know, Mr. Walsh, as we're going to
here.
Plans
Kevin?
Yes.
How's that?
Kevin, yes. Maybe the best way to deal with this on the landscaping is both myself and Henry have commented, and Henry's quite specific. Is there any issue with abiding by the recommendations of Mr. Interstein?
Well, you know what? We're a little bit ahead of it, but we'll, you know, following your lead, we'll go to that right now. First, we've taken a look at your memorandum, Mr. Chadwick, dated February 14th, 2023. The first comment is a planning comment. You'll hear some testimony, but the remainder of your comments, items 2, 3, 4, and 5, are all items that we have reviewed and the applicant is prepared to comply with. A caveat with an answer on your item number 2, there is no audio systems proposed. We did have a-
What I was hoping, Kevin, is to get by this landscaping where we couldn't get the screen. If you can agree with Mr. Interstein's comments, we can move on.
We reviewed the second memo dated February 23rd, 2023, site impact comments, which include all the landscaping, grading, and so forth. There are 12 items, and we are prepared to comply with all of those items. Item 13 of that memo indicates we need to submit to the County Planning Board. That's already been done. So basically, we can comply with the terms, conditions, and recommendations of both professional memos.
All right.
That's
fantastic. I was just hoping to move this along.
Right, that's fine. So
I think we just did.
Yep. So other than that, it's a pretty, I'm happy to be before you with a rather simple application. And if there's no engineering questions, I would then ask just Mr. Walsh to give us some very brief planning testimony before the board deliberates.
Do okay. Any members of the board have any questions? Okay, hearing none, you can proceed, Mr. Morse.
All right, so now, Mr. Walsh, in addition to your engineering testimony and review, you've also analyzed the subject application from a professional planning standpoint, correct?
Correct.
All right, the use itself of the church is an inherently beneficial use to which we're providing this really vestibule and ADA addition. And again, that requires a use variance, correct?
Technically,
yes. We're adding on to it. And then the other aspect of the use variance is the existing steeple or spire with the cross on the top of it. The dome actually exceeds, because we're technically in a residential zone, it's at 45 feet and we're supposed to be at 35 feet. So that invokes a use variance for height, correct?
Correct.
However, we are not increasing the height. The top of that cross will remain unchanged, correct?
Correct.
And basically the dome just comes up a little farther, and what appears to be a little pointed spire to the cross now gets domed over with a Coptic dome, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Now, since we're an inherently beneficial use, we don't need to talk about special reasons because the use itself is considered one that supports the general welfare. So basically, it's a seek a balancing test. We talk about, is there any negativity, correct?
Correct.
Right. So you've had the opportunity to review and analyze the application in that regard, correct?
Yes.
And do you are you able to identify, are there any negative impacts that will be caused by the continuing use of the property as the church with these proposed additions?
No, it will remain the same. The height will remain the same. It'll continue to be a place of worship and with the same building height, with just an the architectural motif will be essentially upgraded to match the ADA improvements that are being proposed.
And these improvements are not done to increase the size of the congregation or use of the church, but it's really done simply to provide better access for the existing congregants and to add some of the architectural flair consistent with the Coptic church, their dome, and the way that type of style of their faith. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. And again, will there be any negative impact on any or adjacent or neighboring properties with regard to this proposed development of the property?
No, there will not. The character of the neighborhood will remain exactly the same. In fact, the architectural upgrades will just an increase benefit in terms of the visual environment, in terms of matching the proposed ADA improvements, the motif that they're trying to construct, along with the change to the tower to match those architectural improvements.
And the improvements themselves, the color and style are going to match the color of the existing church right now, correct?
That is correct.
It's the intention to have it blend, so it almost looks like it's not really an addition, but really part of an original construction. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. And it would be your, can the relief here that we're requesting, can it be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantial impairment to the intent and purpose of this township's zone plan and zoning ordinance?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And that would be your planning opinion based yes. upon all the testimony, correct?
Correct.
All right. So if there are any planning questions of Mr. Walsh at this time, we would invite them.
Does anyone on the board have any questions? Nope. Proceed, Mr. Morris.
Maybe we just want to confirm there will not be any audio system in the dome.
That is correct.
No, there will not.
What color is the dome?
The renderings that I've seen is a light blue, and I'd have to just verify with okay. Ralph whether that's correct.
That I couldn't catch it, so that's why I asked.
Ralph, can you unmute yourself for a second?
And we'll need to swear him in. Mr. Nashed, could you unmute yourself?
Okay, asked and answered.
Ralph, unmute yourself.
Ralph, you have to unmute yourself.
There you go.
Okay. Mr. Nashed, could you raise your right hand?
Sure, you're muted. Good job.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Ralph Nash, 112 Kensington Avenue in Jersey City, New Jersey.
All right. Mr. Nashed, you're the designer who designed these proposed additions, correct?
Correct.
All right. Question of the board planner. What color is the dome proposed to be?
The dome is going to be glass to provide light to the vestibule. So it is a glass dome.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're
Mr. Morris, is that it?
That's our case, Mr. Chairman. Good.
Okay, any members of the board have any questions or comments about this? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Ms. Buckley?
No one.
Seeing none, I'm going to close the public portion. I'm going to close the public portion and make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
Can I get a second?
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Not all Tillery? Points,
yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Morse, we will memorialize this at our next meeting.
Great. Thank you, folks. Mr. Chadwick, feel better.
Thank you. Mr. Cahill, I am going to excuse myself. I'm not.
Please take care of yourself and mend up, okay?
Thank you.
We'll see you at the next one. Okay.
I will.
Let's proceed to item number 6, 23-CB-17V, Venkat Pudalaparthi. Did I kill that name or what?
Yeah, Pudalaparthi.
Okay, I tried my best.
Okay, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Venkat Pudalaparthi, 2 Tisheri Court, Piscataway, New Jersey, 08854.
Thank you, sir. Could you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
Yeah. I request for a 6 feet solid vinyl fence for five feet inside the property from the property line. That's my request for the variance.
Did you have an opportunity to look at Mr. Hinterstein's report?
Yes, I did look into it. And if I understand, he's suggesting to put 15 feet off of the property line.
Yeah, the current proposed location is in the site triangle, so we cannot approve that. And Mr. Hinterstein is suggesting that you move it 15 feet off the property line. Can you do that?
May I request for 10 feet off, because my property itself is very small. So I'm okay to do like 10 feet inside instead of 15. May I request for that on the map 11 inside?
Mr. Chairman, you may want to check with Mr. Hinterstein.
Yes, Henry, could you please comment about this?
Yeah. Again, this is typical solid fence in a corner property. As we've asked many times before, we've asked residents and applicants to move the fences, typically 15 feet, if not more, in order to keep the site corridor open of the roads so that they don't, the encroachment of the fences do not impact the neighboring properties. In this particular case, we are in an R75 zone. So the front yard setback is a little bit less at 25 feet. With that being said, I think maybe we could compromise a little bit, maybe 12 and a half feet, which is half of the setback in that zone, I think would be an appropriate compromise. But I believe that that is the extent of, I think, where the variance should end. I don't believe the fence should encroach any more than that 12 and a half feet from the property line. I mean, the applicant also has the ability to put a 4 foot fence that's 50% solid up to the property line. So, you know, if it's a matter of wanting to fence the property, you know, they're entitled to do a 4 foot high, 50% solid fence. But if they want to use a 6 foot solid fence, my recommendation would be 12 and a half would be the bare minimum that the board should approve.
That's a good compromise, sir.
Okay. So in that case, I'll go with the 12.5 feet inside the property line with 6 feet solid fence. And can I put the picket fence on the remaining area, like on the 1 foot leaving from the property line? Can I put a picket fence?
You're entitled to put a fence that conforms with the ordinance up to the property line.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
It just cannot be in the site triangle. So no fence can be in the site triangle easement. So you might have to step a little bit further in as far as how close it gets to Tesseri Court in order to comply with that that site triangle. But otherwise, you could do a 4-foot high, 50% solid fence up to the property line along Maple Avenue and you know, enclosing the property. Just cannot be located in that site triangle.
Okay, I understand.
Okay. Any other comments, Henry?
No, that's really it. There is a variance for AC compressors being within the side yard setback, but due to the fence being installed, I think that's going to satisfactorily buffer and screen the AC compressor unit. So I don't see any issue with that variance that's being requested.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, Henry. Any other members of the board have any questions for this applicant? Hearing none, I'm going to open the public portion. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions for this application?
No one, Chairman.
Thank you, Laura. Close the public portion and I make a motion to approve the application.
I'll second.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application has been approved as amended 12 and a half feet off the property line. We will memorialize this in a written document at our next meeting. You don't need to be there for that. We'll mail that document to you.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, sir. Let's move on to item number 7, 23-ZB-14V, Patricia Beloff.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is Jeremy Solomon, the law office of Bob Smith and Associates. I represent the applicant, Patricia Beloff. Excuse me. This is the plan is a consolidation of two lots and a renovation and an addition to an existing single family home in the R20 district. I'm authorized to tell you that having reviewed the Mr. Hinderstein's memo, that the applicant has agreed to amend the proposal to eliminate the last two variances listed. The driveway will be paved. It's not going to be a gravel driveway, but it'll be paved. And the garage will be enlarged so as to conform to the ordinance. So the final two variances listed will be eliminated. The request for them will be eliminated. Of the remaining four variances, the first two are existing. The lot area of 13,840 and a half square feet, where 20,000 square feet is required, that's existing. And the lot depth of 125 feet, where 150 feet is required, is also existing, pre-existing. The remaining variances are for a proposed 27 and a half foot front setback, where 40 feet is required, and then two side yard setbacks, 1.8 foot for the covered deck and 2.7 feet for the shed. In both cases, 8 feet is required. I'll have the testimony from the engineer, but with respect to the front yard setback, I believe it's for the most part dictated by the architectural covering over the entranceway. You'll hear some more testimony about that. As well, the side yard, I'm told that they both have existed for many years, the side yard setbacks that are existing, the 1.8 feet for the deck and the 2.7 feet for the shed. In fact, I'm told by the applicant that her husband constructed that deck over 30 years ago, and she's never had any complaint from a neighbor or anybody. Excuse me. As a witness, I have Paul Fletcher. He's an engineer and a planner who will testify as to the details of the proposal. The architect, Phil Iannito, is present. If you have any questions for him, as well, the applicant, Ms. Beloff, is also present. I anticipate that only the engineer will need to testify, but I have them available if you have questions that that the engineer isn't able to answer. If we could arrange to have him sworn. And
Mr. Fletcher, could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Yes, Paul J. Fletcher, 54 West Pond Road in Hope Lawn, New Jersey.
I believe Mr. Fletcher has been accepted by the board as an expert engineer and planner on prior applications.
I'm taking the liberty of sharing my screen. Let me know if you can see the engineering plans.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Mr. Fletcher, I'm sorry, you said he's qualified. You accept him as an expert?
Yes, he's appeared before this board on prior occasions.
Mr. Fletcher, can you address yourself to the variances requested in this application?
Certainly. Subject property 30 Sutty Avenue, lots 15 and 16 in block 7706. The property is currently improved with a single family house, one story. It has had some fire damage. The applicant proposes to expand the footprint, putting to the right side a two-story addition, putting a second floor addition over the existing house, and also a two-story addition at the rear. There is also an extension of the second floor over the front porch by 2 feet, which I think adds some character and aesthetic appeal to the elevation. As you mentioned, there's a number of existing variances. Required minimum lot area 20,000 square feet. Existing is 13,840.54 square feet. I believe that is an existing situation which could be under the C1 criteria, where the hardship appears to be no land available. Similarly, for the lot depth, 150 feet is required in the zone, the R20 zone, and 125 lot is existing. Again, that's, I believe, a C1 variance, where it's a hardship. And the actual variance for the front yard setback, the existing front yard is 29.5. We're seeking a 2 foot increase to 27.5. And I think that could be justified under the C2 criteria, where the benefits significantly outweigh any detriments. I don't see any particular detriment to a 2 foot overhang on the second floor with pillars that would make the building much more attractive. And I think the aesthetic improvement to the look, the benefit to the neighborhood. With regards to the side yard setbacks, again, these are existing conditions. 8 foot is required. There's a covered wood deck that's at 1.8 feet. Accessory structure shed, which is at 2.7. Again, this has been in existence for quite a number of years. To our knowledge, there's been no complaints. And I would suggest that the board has the authority under C1, where it would be a hardship for the current homeowner to have to move these structures. As you had mentioned, the last two variances regarding paved driveway, we will be paving the driveway. And again, as you mentioned, the garage will be enlarged to comply with the ordinance requirements. Revised architectural plans will be provided, and revised plot and grading plan will be submitted for review by the board professionals. Overall, I think this application can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good, without detriment to the Piscataway zone plan or master plan. And I would respectfully request the board approve the application.
Just for the benefit of clarity of the record, Ms. Fletcher, can I ask, do you see any negative impacts from approving these variances?
I do not.
And do you see any negative impact to the surrounding or neighboring properties?
I do not.
That's all the questions that I have, Mr. Chairman. Oh, and I should specify, Mr. Chairman, that the plans that we're working on are the plans that were submitted with the application. They are dated September 30th, 2021.
Thank you. Henry, further comment?
I'd like to just talk a little bit about those variances. And really, I don't have any issue with the majority of these variances stated. The majority of these variances were for pre-existing conditions for the two, which was the I believe, the lot area and the frontage, or the lot depth. I forget which one it was, but that was a pre-existing. The existing setback, or the proposed setback for the front, I have a little bit of an issue with, in the sense that, again, this is a zone that requires a 40-foot front yard setback. And typically when we've had additions, we look for the addition to improve upon the requirement that the zone requires, not not exacerbate the existing variances. You know, if the variance was, 35 feet where 40 feet was required, then, perhaps I could agree with Mr. Fletcher that, it's really a C2 and it's de minimis. But here we're going from a variance that's almost, quite a bit substantially over, it's an intense variance to begin with. And then now we're asking for a variance of actually 27 feet, not the 27 and a half feet, because when you look at the architectural plan, the soffit has to be included as well on that setback. There's no grandfathering or exception for soffits when you're already in a variance situation. So typically you would get credit for the soffit if it was 18 inches over the property line. But since this is already a substantial variance, you get no credit for the soffit, or no allowance, I should say, for the soffit. Therefore, again, you're just increasing the mass and really exacerbating that front yard setback more so than it really should be. I think that you could accomplish the same thing with an open covering over the front door, but not increase the mass of the structure by adding that second floor addition. Maybe the architect could speak of that. And I think it would pretty much still give it that architectural character that you're looking for, as well as the covered entrance area. But I believe it should just stop at an open, pillared roof without the addition above it to increase the mass of the building into the front yard setback. As far as that existing covered deck in the back, just because it's been there for 30 years illegally does not justify any variances or create any hardships. That hardship is self-created. It wasn't permitted. There was no variance ever issued for that covered deck. As such, the case law, I think, is pretty clear on that, it's a self-created hardship. The requirement of 8 foot setbacks for rear and side yard setbacks on accessory structures is there to protect, I think, good zoning practices and not have structures right up against neighboring property lines. And as such, and due to the fact that it was done illegally, and there's ample room, I believe, around the property for this deck or structure to be relocated, I don't see a reason why it could not have been put into a conforming location from the start, and it should have been permitted. So the fact that it's been here for 30 years illegally, I think the homeowner should be thankful that they got to use it for 30 years without any issue, but it doesn't make it right.
Okay.
Does that also apply to the shed?
Thank you, Henry.
The shed in itself is very close to the allowed. It's slightly over what the 10 by 10 requirement is for the 3 foot setback requirement for 100 square foot shed. So as such, I don't have an issue with the shed because it's just slightly over the 100 square foot allowance of a shed in the sense that it's not an accessory structure. So I don't have an issue with the shed being on the one side, slightly under the requirement that a normal shed would be required to have. This is slightly more than the 100 square feet, which is why the 8 foot requirement exists. But I think it's close enough to that 100 square feet that variance is acceptable, I think, for the shed. It's really just a covered deck that is extremely, out of character with the accessory structure requirements. Again, it was an illegal structure. It wasn't permitted or variance was never issued for it. And as such, I think it should be relocated to a conforming location or removed. I mean, if it's 30 years old, it might be on its last leg anyway, but that being said, I'll leave that up to the applicant. And again, I think I don't have an issue in concept with the covered entranceway. The issue is the mass of it with the second floor addition above it. I think if it was just the covered entranceway with the pillars and just stopped with either an A-frame or pitch back, slope back roof, I think we're fine. But once you, I think, put that second floor addition on top of it, now you're really exacerbating the mass of the structure and the front yard setback that exists there today, which is already an intense front yard setback variance and definitely further out than all the other or the other two homes on either side of this property.
Bless you, whoever that was.
Can I ask Mr. Fletcher to weigh in on the issue of the second floor, the 2 foot that Mr. Hinterstein was referring to? Nobody asked my opinion, but I see it as an existing 25 some feet, and the applicant is only asking for an additional 2 feet. I'm not a planner, so I'm wondering what Mr. Fletcher thinks.
But my comment would be that I think it's a de minimis increase, although we are already in a non-conforming front yard setback, but I think the addition of 2 feet over whatever the width is, maybe 12 feet, is de minimis. And as I mentioned, I think it would add aesthetic value, but you might like to have the architect comment on that.
And that was my next move. If I could ask Mr. Yanito to unmute himself and address the board.
Okay, I've unmuted myself. I don't know if the video is working, but...
Yes, it is. I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Phil Ionito, 66 Blossom Hill Road, Lebanon, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Mr. Ionito, can you give the board the benefit of your qualifications as an architect?
I'm a registered architect in the state of New Jersey since 1989, I believe. I have never been in front of board in Piscataway, but I have been board members. I have been a board member, and I have been in front of many boards throughout the state.
I'm happy with your qualifications. Please proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Anita, would you address Mr. Hinstein's comments, in particular with respect to the additional 2 foot projection on the front setback?
Yeah. The additional.
I'm sorry. Let me interrupt you. If you'd like, I will show the architecturals on the screen. Again, Mr. Chairman, these are plans that were submitted with the application. And just so that the record is clear, I believe they are dated. Is it May 18?
May 18, 2018, I believe. Was it 19?
That sounds right.
The request, two requests were made of me when we were designing this particular area. One was to have stepped gables, and two was to have some type of protection at the front porch. Now, initially, we just had the projection, that 2 foot projection as a cantilever, and we were trying to bracket it, and it didn't look appropriate. We decided to add the columns. I do understand that once you are in a variance situation, the 18-inch allowance for projections does not exist anymore. But the concept initially was to, to do that, to take advantage of something that we really couldn't take advantage of. However, I don't have really a problem with a covered porch because we could still create stepped gables. The question is that with the design like this, a 2 foot cantilever protect the door. And if we were to do a roof, it wouldn't look appropriate if it weren't at least 3 or 4 feet deep. So we would have to be, I think in order to look appropriate, it would have to project out further. A design comment, a 2 foot gable, a projecting gable that's only 2 feet deep, doesn't look appropriate. It's just not deep enough.
Is it fair to say that you mean to say if there was only a roof there, it would actually project further into the setback than the existing structure that you've proposed?
In order to look appropriate, I would suggest that it would have to be further, project further, at least, 3 feet, if not, if we could get 4, I'd prefer it, but at least 3.
And so then this design. So this design accomplishes the goal of protecting the front entryway while projecting less into the setback than a simple roof would.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Majewski.
Yeah.
The A-frame gable that you have over the addition, isn't that 2.5 feet?
The A-frame
gable. This part here?
Yeah. The gable over the addition, over the entranceway, is 2.5 feet. And you just said that a 2.5 foot gable wouldn't look right.
Well, that's a cantilevered projection. A two and a half foot just gable with a window in it, just the roof itself.
Yeah, but it's really the same thing. I mean,
covered porch.
Issue I have is the mass of the structure above the entranceway. I don't have a problem. So if that gable was lowered to so that the point was at the, you know, at that window, or maybe the window was shortened a little bit, and you know, the gable was just over the door with an A-frame, you know, yeah, would it be better if it was wider? Sure. But the problem is you have an existing variance situation here, which is over 10 feet more than what's required by the ordinance. So, I mean, the problem is balancing what the want and what, you know, ideally would be look the best with the ordinance. And I think I think the township could just say, you know, I don't think that the exacerbating that front yard setback is a good idea. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I think the mass has got to be more open and less than what's there now. I mean, the addition does provide a little bit of architectural character, and, you know, again, perhaps the A-frame just over the doorway or some other modification to that would still, I think, give it some interest and some character without really substantially increasing the mass of the structure into that front yard setback, which is already in such an intense variance state.
Okay, just to not to complicate things, but there is a stone veneer, which could be thin stone, so it would only be 2 inches. So we do have, from the existing facade, we would be another, with finish, we would be another, 2 inches beyond the siding that's there now. Because the desire is to put a stone veneer, but it could be thin stone, not 4 inch. A thin, applied stone.
Well, again, if you're putting the covered roof over the entranceway, that's going to be projecting.
It would project
2.5 feet out anyway. So it's going to be more than what the stone veneer is anyway. So I don't see the stone veneer being the issue.
I mean, I would request, if I could, for the roof with its soffits to be 3 feet from. If we did it just a gable, so I could have enough room to make it look appropriate, at least.
I don't have an issue with that, as long as just a gable roof over the entranceway without the addition above. I think that could work.
And I could try a hipped as well as gabled roofs, mm-hmm. Until the owner's satisfied.
Okay.
Thank you, Henry.
Mr. Cahill, we're at a point where it looks like the applicant might have to supply revised plans for the consideration of both the board and Mr. Hinterstein.
Mr. Solomon, can you talk to your client or find out how you'd like to proceed with this? You can see, obviously, that the temperature in the room is that Henry wants certain things to be adhered to. And the board, nine times out of 10, we always go with the expert engineers that we have in the township. So I think we're at a bit of an impasse.
Yeah, might be more efficient, most efficient, if you want me to quickly address the Mr. Hinterstein's review letter.
Oh, sure, please.
I might as well, just so that we have a complete record.
Uh-huh.
We haven't discussed item one or number two, and the applicant will comply with those items. We discussed item number three. Number four is the setback that we just finished discussing. Paved driveway is number five, which we said we would comply. And I think number six is something Mr. Fletcher or Mr. Ionita will take care of.
Okay.
Anyway, in the interest of completeness, I thought we should address that.
I know. I appreciate that. Plus, we have to deal with next time.
If you wouldn't mind, I could go on mute and try to reach out to my client.
Please proceed. Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, would you like to do the resolutions while we're waiting?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea either. Let's move on to item number 8, adoption of resolutions from the regular meeting of March 9th, 2023.
First resolution is Michael Perrello, which you voted to approve. Mr. Hillary?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio? Mr. Heyduka?
Can't hear you, Jim.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Deborah Doroteo, which you voted to approve. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Minarondo?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next application, Sadaf Ayub Khalid, which you voted to approve. Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Minarondo?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions I have this evening.
Well, let's move on to the adoption of the minutes from the regular meeting of March 9th, 2023. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. I'll wait Mr. Solomon to come back.
Only to 420 milliamp, we go to 605 milliamp.
Is Henry there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Henry, just make sure that we get the language down, Pat, that that we want the township before we take a vote.
Yeah.
Because we're all a little bit all over the map a little bit with what they proposed.
No
and what,
problem.
You know what I mean?
It's really, I mean, there's really, at this point, there's two issues. If they agree to remove the deck and I think, you know, modify the roof over the entranceway, I think we can move on this tonight. Okay. And then I'll work with the applicant on the design of the porch as long as it's not more than 3 feet. So,
got it.
I mean,
okay.
If no, that's there's smart. Pushback on the other issues, then that could be an issue.
Okay.
So, I mean, I would propose to get it done from both and compare, and I'm pretty sure.
Thank you for indulgence, Mr. Chairman. I did stop sharing screen, right?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Okay, good. I spoke to my client. She understands that a redo of the application concerning the addition over the porch is appropriate, and she would agree to a simple roof over the front porch rather than the, I guess it's a second floor addition, I guess is the best way to describe it. Is that accurate, Mr. Henderson? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So she will agree to that. I will say she's not comfortable removing the deck and having been there so long and having been built by her husband. I certainly understand that it's within the board's jurisdiction to consider make that a condition of the application. I trust that answers any open questions. Yes.
Mr. Cahill, I think we can move forward. I think that if they're willing to agree with the 3 foot covered open covered roof, and I like to work with the architect on, you know,
a plan that's acceptable to that effect. We can modify the variance to be 3 feet in front yard setback for strictly an open covered roof or covered porch, however you want to call it, that is not to be enclosed. The setback would be 26.5 feet, Jim.
Yes.
And I would impose the condition that the illegal covered deck structure needs to be relocated or removed as a condition, simply because, again, I just don't feel that if we allow illegal structures, regardless of how long they've been in place, to remain as such, then what's the point of having a zoning ordinance and requirements? When people just do what they want and then say, when they finally get caught, well, it's been there 10 years, it doesn't make it right. And I think, again, case law has proven the fact that even mistakes, when honest, do not justify hardship variances when they're self-created.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, I'd say I certainly agree with Mr. Hinterstein's interpretation of the law. I have no quibble with that. My point being only that it's been there this long and no one has complained about it. Beyond that, I'll submit to your jurisdiction.
Can we put a time frame on the removal of the said deck?
Yes, but I wouldn't, again, because it's an illegal structure.
Right.
Mr. Cahill, I think that, I think a shorter amount of time is in order, especially since we're talking about pulling permits for additional work, because once they have the permits, I think that in cases like that, typically we want the illegal issues resolved prior to building permits being issued.
Understood.
If not,
you're suggesting that's a condition of permit issuance.
Correct.
Rather than CO. So,
yeah.
Understood.
All right. I was just pulling on heartstrings. Hopefully they could use the deck for the summer or whatnot, but if that's the recommendation, ask anybody.
It's certainly within your jurisdiction to make that a condition of permit issuance, yes.
I follow the lead of my expert engineer, and I'm going to renege on that offer. I would ask any other members of the board, do they have any questions about this application or any of its witnesses? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application? Here, none? Laura, you're muted, Laura.
All right, Kenneth Johnson.
Yeah, I have a question. Okay, hold on, sir. I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Kenneth Johnson, 54 Seward Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, so my question is, you're increasing the impervious surfaces. You're not including the pool as an impervious surface. And there's so much impervious surface on this small lot. I'd like to know what effect that's going to have on flooding.
Mr. Fletcher, can you address that question?
Sorry, you beat me to the mute button.
Yes. Our calculations that are shown on the plan, pre-development impervious is 3,400. Post-development is 3,700. We're increasing the total impervious on the lot by 316.5 square feet. So I don't believe that is a significant increase.
What do you base that decision on? Do you have data to support that?
Well, I can calculate the increase in runoff and it will be nominal.
Yeah, but the problem is nominal is that runoff runs into my yard, which I've been here for 45 years with no flooding until the past couple of years. And now you're telling me my flooding is going to be even worse. Maybe just a little, but it's going to be worse.
Well, the roof leaders will be directed towards the gutter line, as will the runoff from the driveway. The increase in impervious is from the house, so I don't think it's going to exacerbate the runoff to the neighbor.
Where does that water go?
We're going to direct it to the front of the property. It'll go over the, in fact, there's an inlet in front of the property. We can tie the roof leaders into the inlet if the Piscataway Engineering or Mr. Hinterstein would prefer.
So I don't see any issue with directing the roof leaders to the inlet. That should not be an issue, which would eliminate some of the existing and proposed runoff.
What do you mean by inlet?
There's a storm sewer inlet in the street.
I thought Piscataway didn't allow runoff to go to the street. I read that it had to be handled on your property. Am I misunderstanding that?
I believe you are.
So I can take my runoff and run it right out to the street. You're telling me I can do that?
Henry, he might be thinking of some pump.
You cannot directly pipe to the street. He's talking about piping directly into a storm sewer catch basin. So you're not going to see the water. The water's not going to be directed to the curb line where it could freeze in the wintertime. It gets directly piped into the inlet catch basin. And so that runoff is actually not going to be directed to the street. It's not going to be overland flow anymore, which is the way it is now, probably. That's what I think perhaps you're maybe confusing. You're not, the township doesn't want some pumps or leaders directed or piped to the road directly. Due to icing conditions in the wintertime. But if you directly have the ability to pipe it right into an inlet due to the close proximity of an inlet, which there is one in front of this property, that is never looked upon usually in dismay. So I think that's a good solution, which will actually reduce the runoff from this property to the neighboring properties and probably increase or improve the situation that may exist out there today.
And does that go for the back side of the house as well? They're going to be directed towards the front of the house?
Yes.
And is that going to be included in the plan?
In the revised plan, yes.
Okay. I'm worried because I haven't seen flooding. I've been here for years, and the past couple of years I've seen flooding, and it's coming from that lot. I have a couple more questions. This application, it says it was filed by the ex-wife of the owner. I'd like to know if the owner's aware of it and are his children aware of it? Mr. Solomon.
I guess I don't know how to answer that question. Memory serves, the application includes a sign-off from the husband, if that's who he means by the owner.
The copy that I have, there's no sign off by the husband.
It's a separate, I don't have it in front of me. I believe it to be a separate document that's included with the application. Ms. Buckley, is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. That, and also, I guess I don't know what relevance the children of either of the two parties would have to this application.
Well, I mean,
these are the owners of the house, so they both have signed off on the application. Nobody else asked.
That was my question. And I just feel their children should know about it, too.
I see.
And then I have one other question. The shed that's in question here is in a state of disrepair. There are no doors on it. So it's very likely that shed is going to be replaced in the near future. The shed's been there for over 45 years. Can we somehow specify that it would be located correctly when it's replaced?
Mr. Solomon, yes, I think that's a fair request, correct?
I was thinking, I was going to ask you, Mr. Hinterstein, if in the process of replacing a shed like that, should it become necessary, a new permit is required anyway, right?
A new permit is required, but technically, if you replace it exactly in kind and there's a variance issued, it could technically go in that same location. But I think for...
I'm sorry, you mean the location that it's been in for 45 years? That location?
No, with a variance. again, it's a reasonable request. And we've done that before where We've allowed things to remain, but once they are replaced, we say that they should be replaced in a conforming location. Again, if it's a 100 square foot shed that is put in, this would move literally, 4 inches from where it is now, and it would conform. So, but I think that's a reasonable request. I don't think the applicant should have really any issues with that.
I'm sure she wouldn't.
Johnson, you have any other questions?
That's all.
Okay, thank you, sir. We appreciate your input. Any other members of the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, Ms. Buckley. Close the public portion, and I make a motion to approve this application with the concessions by the applicant.
I'll second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio? Sorry, I muted them.
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Solomon, we will memorialize this at our next meeting and send a copy to you.
Thank you, Mr. Keneally. I appreciate your courtesies as always.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you again. Good night.
Okay, let's move on to item number 10, which is an adjournment. Can I get?
Yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
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 All right. Once again, thank you for volunteering, people, and go have a great evening.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bill, have fun Saturday.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's interesting. Have fun.
It's a Wednesday night.
Oh, it's a Wednesday. Yeah, everybody else is Saturday. You're doing well. Next day, call me and let me know how you liked it.
Oh, yeah. I just, my internet, I have a feeling it's not going to last that long, though.
You'll be fine. You'll do it. Yeah, let me know how it goes, okay?
Okay, gotcha.
All right, thank you. Good night. Good night, Roy. Night, Sean. Good night.